Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
In 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7, John tells us that God's children reflect the nature of their Heavenly Father. That would be a concise summary of what he says in these three verses. And he tells us in verse 5 that the nature of God is light. Remember, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So if we're going to figure out if we reflect the nature of our Heavenly Father, we first have to know something about the nature of our Heavenly Father. And he gives us that first. God, by his very nature, is light. He is holy. He is pure. He is truth without any mixture of error. He is the source of life and the sustainer of life. God is light. That is his essential nature. But God's children reflect the nature of their Heavenly Father, and that's why we have this warning in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That's pretty sober. A warning to those who profess Christ, who say they have fellowship with him, but whose life is characterized by darkness, not light. And John says very clearly, without fear of contradiction, without worrying about being too harsh in his statement, John just says very clearly, if you profess to know God, but your life manifests darkness rather than light, then you're a liar. You are a liar. Because God's children reflect the nature of their Heavenly Father, and God's nature is light. And therefore, the essential characteristic of his children is going to be light. We do recognize that we are not entirely sanctified until we get to heaven, and so we still have this remaining Adamic sinfulness within us against which we do battle royal, and we sometimes lose various skirmishes, but there is a general pattern of behavior, a general direction of life that characterizes those who are the children of God, which is very different from the general nature of life and direction of life that characterizes those who are yet in darkness. And salvation is a rescue out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, but it is also a rescue out of the possession of darkness, the characteristic of darkness being the characteristic of our soul, and a change, a renewed heart that changes us into children of the light. And therefore, God's children reflect the nature of their Heavenly Father. It's a very important message, and no amount of fair speech can make up for lack of practical godliness. You can say, I am a child of God. You can say, I have fellowship with him. You can say, I am a Christian, but one cannot truthfully and accurately claim a relationship with God while living in darkness. Do you hear me? This is so vitally important. We'll continue talking about it after I greet you on this Thursday, January 18, and welcome you to the Beacon Broadcast, and thank you for considering the financial gift that will help keep us ministering on this station. I read some weeks ago about a woman, a rather promiscuous woman, who described basically a one-night stand she had with a man, and then after their sexual relationship, he started witnessing to her about her need of Christ, at which she took tremendous offense, and rightfully so, and accused him of being a hypocrite, and rightfully so, and his response was, well, I can leave here and ask God to forgive me from what I did, and I'll be fine, and I'll go to heaven, but you're not a Christian, so you need to pray and ask Jesus to save you, because otherwise you're in trouble. I'm not. I'm okay. That is exactly the kind of person that John is talking about here. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, that kind of deception is widespread. It probably characterizes some of you who are listening to the broadcast today, because I run into a lot of people in this world who claim to be Christians, but they walk in darkness. It's not uncommon for people to regularly attend what is purportedly an evangelical church while they are living together unmarried, and that to go on indefinitely without any remorse, without any conviction of sin, without any shame. They're not ashamed of it because there are so many other people in the same boat. They're not ashamed of it, and nobody at the church wants them to feel ashamed about it. Everything is done to make them feel comfortable with that situation. And that's another manifestation of what John is talking about. This is not only a sober warning for individuals, but it is a sober warning for churches. It is a sober warning for any style of Christianity that encourages people to believe that they can be saved and going to heaven even when they are living in known violation of the moral law of God. But because that's accepted in society today, then that can't be frowned on by the church today. It is by true Christians. It is by Bible-believing churches. And that's the only kind there are. You know, when we talk about true Christians as opposed to Christians, when we talk about born-again Christians as opposed to Christians, when we talk about Bible-believing Christians as opposed to Christians, we are adding something that we shouldn't have to add. Because a Christian is, by definition, a true Christian. A Christian is, by definition, a Bible-believing Christian. A Christian is, by definition, a person who is endeavoring to follow and obey the Lord Jesus Christ and to do what he commands. Can immoral people be saved? Yes, they can. Thank God they can. Praise God they can. Oh, wonderfully they can. But they will hear the words of Christ. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Your faith has made you whole. You are no longer under condemnation. Now go and sin no more. Get out of that sinful lifestyle, and you will if you are truly saved. But if you are living a lie, if you are following a deceit that someone else has encouraged you to believe, then you are lost on your way to hell and deceiving yourself into thinking that you are a Christian. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth, a person like that is no Christian at all. It's a sobering warning, but it is a very necessary one. And I remind you that when John talks about saying we have fellowship with him in verse 6, he's not talking about what some people in our day mean by that term. such as, well, I know that I'm not walking in fellowship with the Lord, but I'm still a Christian. I'm walking at a guilty distance. I'm not in close fellowship with Christ. I know that. I'm not living like a Christian ought to live, but I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Don't deceive yourself. The way John is using this word fellowship is basically synonymous with salvation. If we say that we are saved and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's how he has defined and described fellowship in the previous verses. That's what fellowship is. It is partnership. It is shared life with God the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ and with the other people of God. It is another way of describing salvation. If we say that we enjoy life, shared life with Christ, if we say that we enjoy shared life with the true people of God and walk in darkness, we lie. We're saying that which is not true. Whether we're deliberately lying or not is beside the point. We are saying something that is not so. That's a lie. If it is contrary to the truth, if it doesn't measure up to truth, if it doesn't pass muster when compared to the standard of God's Word is true, and anything that is contrary to God's Word is a lie. And if we say that we are a Christian, and the characteristic of our life is walking in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I'm not suggesting by my illustration here that fornication, living together unmarried, is the worst sin in all the world. There are plenty of others that are just as bad. It just happens to be a very conspicuous one, which is so easily judged by the Word of God. The Word of God is so clear about this. Marriage is honorable in all aspects of that relationship, and the marriage bed is undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. There is no place in the Christian world for people who are living a life of fornication. Is there a place for fornicators to be saved out of their sinful lifestyle and all of their sins cleansed and washed away and made pure and whole and given eternal life and on their way to heaven? Absolutely there is. Glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord. If you are in that condition, then repent of your sin and go to Christ for his cleansing, for the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin, including that one and many others as well. Are you a Christian that in a moment of weakness stumbled and fell into sexual temptation? Is there hope for you? Of course there is. Acknowledge your sin, repent of it, and depart from it. But what there is not is room within biblically defined Christianity for someone to just go on living in an adulterous, an immoral relationship and saying, but I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, I'm going to heaven. I know that this isn't the ideal relationship, but God understands. God knows my heart. Yes, he does. The problem is you don't know your heart. And here's what God tells you about your heart. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Hear the word of God and conform yourself accordingly. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.